this time we have Brother Bob to be our speaker, and I would ask that you each might give him attention as well as a special interest in your prayers.
So let's read a little bit this evening from the 19th Psalm. I want to begin with the first verse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day out of his feet, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. And I think the days like today with the storm that came in, we really can see the greatness of God. And we know the many good things that he grants unto us. And then we know also that he does expect quite a bit of us. The last few days we've been able to witness the mountains changing color and all of the good things that we can see. And it does us a lot of good to go out and enjoy these things. But I think that the other real beauties that he has provided for mankind, he's promised us that he will be with us, that he will direct us, and he will keep us when we stand in need. And I think of the beauty of that far surpassing anything else in the whole world. And he expects us to keep his commandments, to walk uprightly before him, and to search after the good things of his gospel. And the way to do that is to meet together like this and to study by ourselves. And that's the way we become strong, and it makes it possible for us to enjoy not only the surrounding beauty and the physical wonders and the physical blessings that we can have. I want to read a little bit further here, beginning in the 7th verse of this same psalm. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And we know the commandments of God is pure, and that they give us strength and tell us what to do. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And we know that his judgments are true and are righteous. And to enjoy these things, a righteous judgment does not hurt righteous people. It reminds me of a story they tell of a fellow that had been convicted of a crime, and they were going to trial, and had him in the courtroom, and he was very nervous and upset, and the judge said, "What seems to be the problem?" He said, "This is a court of justice and equity and everything." He said, "What are you worried about?" He said, "That's what I'm worried about. This is a court of justice." So he knew what he had done, and if it was a court of justice, he wasn't going to say what he did. He wanted to be let off. But a righteous person doesn't need to worry about a righteous judgment. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. All of these things are desired to have.
And the Lord has made it to where that we know what we should do, and the things that should come to pass before us. I want to read a little bit out of the 18th chapter of Matthew. Oftentimes in our lives we get to feeling pretty important and that we have accomplished a great deal, or some people might anyway. I think that these few verses will surely put the haughty back into their place pretty quick. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" A thing that might pass our mind once in a while. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Not only should you not be greater, but you couldn't even enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you become as a little child. We know that a little child is submissive to his parents. Most of them are anyway. I know that each one of us, at some time in our lives, has punished our children. And in 5 minutes, they fall up on our laps and love it. It's kind of a hard thing to do when you have to punish them, too. It's hard to believe that a person could punish somebody and still love them. But we know that this is the case. "Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." So it shows the importance of being humble and meek before the Lord. Therefore, we can't be carried away with our own importance too much. Two, we've got to have a lot of self-esteem, and we've got to have lots of character. And I heard a speech of a fellow that he gave, and he said, "We've got to love ourselves." That's a funny thing. You know, you don't think of that very often, but we have got to love ourselves. God loves us, we love each other, and I'm sure we've got to love ourselves. Now, if we do really love ourselves, one of the things we would like to do is to have the better things for ourselves and for our family. And one of the better things that we should want to have if we really love ourselves is eternal life. Therefore, if we work toward that end, we've got to love one another, we've got to love ourselves, and we've got to love the Lord. And we've got to become a humble and meek people. I want to read a few verses out of Isaiah. The first chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the 119th verse. And this tells a little bit about the man and about the way we live, and showing that we have got to work and strive continually to accomplish something. For the natural man is an enemy of God, and has been from the fall of Adam. The natural man is an enemy of God, and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the impulsions of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble, faithful, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. It tells us what we've got to do. We've got to become humble. Naturally, we've got to turn away from the things that is natural. And then we've got to seek the Lord. Now that spirit of the Lord is there all the time. Just the same as the spirit of the devil is. We know which one is stronger. But we also know that Satan is very deceitful. And he strives and works with great diligence day and night to drive a wedge between us and our Savior. Never for one second would he ever give up. I think that sometimes he's aware of the fact and kind of run a losing battle with some people. Some people are pretty good and they're working towards the things that the Lord would like to have them do. And he may realize that he can't do a whole lot there, so he works all the harder on some others. But I will assure you, just this moment, that person let down their guard, that he is there. And behold, when the time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God in Israel. That is the only people that's going to be found in the good graces of the Lord at that last day. And even at this time, when thou shalt have taught thy people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which he hath spoken unto them. And now I have spoken the words which the Lord hath commanded me. As we read these words, we know they're words of a man, and they're spoken by a man, and they were written by men. But he tells where he got this. He was given to him as the Lord had commanded him. John mentioned this morning that people were very frightened of Revelation. But we should, as he mentioned, we have got to be open-minded enough to know when they are right and when they're wrong. I have no question what is written here is it's a prophet. But suppose somewhere back many years ago, before when this book was being written, to come on and said, well, I don't believe that's of the Lord, and cast it out. Fortunately, that wasn't done, and we have it here today to read, and to gain strength from it. I want to read a few verses from the 10th chapter of Alma also here. Beginning with the 27th verse. And now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words, and cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. Again, this is a part of what Johnny told us this morning. Some kid when he was going to school was going to wait till they got old and dead. Too bad they didn't read these verses, because it sure is plain. But that you would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name, and watch and pray continually, that you may not be tempted above that which you can bear. I wonder if we ever pray that way, that the Lord will bless us and cause that we might not be tempted above that which we can bear. I think it's very important. It says, here it is. And I don't believe Alma would have told us anything that wasn't true. We know that we're tempted from day to day. But if we have the Lord to be with us, it's possible that we can bear up under all the temptations put before us, long trials. And that we be not tempted above that which we can bear. And thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and long-suffering, having a faith on the Lord. Those are pretty good words, aren't they? There's nothing in there that would cause a person to be discouraged. Becoming humble and meek, submissive, patient, and full of love. Very important. In the 29th verse, having a hope that you shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your heart, that you may be lifted up at that last day and enter into His rest. And may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that you may not bring down His wrath upon you, that you may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that you may not suffer the second death. How much better it is to have that hope and promise that he mentioned there in the 29th verse. That your heart may be lifted up at that last day and enter into his rest. But that is something down the road, quite a way. We hope it's quite a way, we tell it. But the comfort and peace that we receive here, day in and day out, knowing that we can turn to the Lord, and that He will hear our prayers, and He will strengthen us, that is so very important. And I feel so sorry for people that do not have a Lord to turn to, or do not realize they have a Lord to turn to. All of them have it, some of them just don't realize it. There's been many people that had faith right within their touch and reach and didn't know how to use them. And caused one of the world to be able to take advantage of them. I often think of a story that was told, and I believe it was one of the Vanderbilts or someone, some very wealthy people were living in Florida. And they had a maid, and she came in and she was lamenting the fact that they had hardly enough food to eat. And she said, well, I thought that the government gave these people some food. Well, she said, they gave it to us, but we don't know what to do with it. They've given them rice and beans. Right in their kitchen, they had rice and beans and were going hungry because they did not know how to cook them. I can't imagine this in the whole world. And this lady took it upon herself to gather some people around her, and go into the ghettos and into the poverty-stricken areas and teach them how to cook the food that the government was giving them. Had something right within their grasp that could help them, but they didn't know how to use it. Many people have these books right in their hands. They're not using them, they're not taking advantage of them, and they're not doing them very much good. But right within their grasp, and a little knowledge, they can get so much comfort. I want to go over now into the 16th chapter of Alma. There's quite a little of this reading, but it seems to be run pretty good together, and I don't know where to break into it. In the 16th chapter, I believe I'll start with verse 121. And it came to pass that they did go forth and begin to preach the word of God unto the people, entering into their synagogues, into their houses, and even they did preach the word in their streets. And it came to pass that after much labor among them, they began to have success among the poor class of people. For behold, they were cast out of their synagogues because of the coarseness of their apparel. I know all of you read this story. And it's a hard thing to believe that anyone would cast the people out of their churches because they weren't properly dressed. Therefore, they were not permitted to enter into their synagogues and worship God, being esteemed as sepulchres. Therefore, they were poor, yea, they were esteemed by their brethren as dross. Therefore, they were poor as the things of the world, and also they were poor in heart, very discouraged. Now, as Alma was teaching and speaking unto this people upon the hill Hodiah, there came a great multitude unto him, who were those of whom we have been speaking. Here this great multitude of poor people began to come up to Israel, who were poor in heart because of their poverty as to the things of the world. And they came unto Alma, and the one who was the foremost among them said unto him, Behold, what shall these my brethren be? For they are despised of all men because of their poverty, yea, and most especially by the priest, by our priest. The priest even stood against them. For they have cast us out of our synagogue, which we labored abundantly to build with our own hands, and they have cast us out because of our exceeding poverty, and we have no place to worship God. For behold, what shall we do? What is the limit of the end women? What were they going to do? Here they have been cast out. But here Alma is going to tell them something they should do. And now when Alma heard this, he turned him about his face immediately towards them. He'd been talking to this group of people, and he turned around and commenced speaking to this other. And he beheld with great joy. And he beheld with great joy, for he beheld that their affliction had truly humbled them, and that they were in a preparation to hear the word. Therefore he did say no more to the other multitude, but he stretched forth his hand and cried unto to those whom he beheld, who were truly humbled, and said unto them, I behold that ye are lowly in heart, and if so, blessed are ye. Behold, thy brethren hath said, What shall we do? For we are cast out of our synagogues, that we cannot worship our God. Behold, I say unto you, do you suppose that ye cannot worship God, save it be in your synagogues only? Now, we may have started to have a church to worship in, but it isn't absolutely essential, apparently. We know that you should meet together wherever you can. I say unto you, it is well that you are cast out of your synagogue, that you may be humble, and that you may learn wisdom, for it is necessary that you should learn wisdom. And it is because that you are cast out that you are despised of your brethren because of your exceeding poverty, that you are brought to a lowliness of heart, for you are necessarily brought to be humble. And now because that you are compelled to be humble, blessed are you, for a man sometimes If you're compelled to be humble, seek it, repent. Not many times in the scriptures do we find a lot of rich people returning and returning to the Lord. But oftentimes it's the poor people that does this. And now surely, whosoever repenteth shall find mercy. And he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, as I said unto you, that because you were compelled to be humble, you were blessed. Do you not suppose that those who are blessed, who are more blessed, who truly humble themselves because of the word? That it were better off to be humble because of the word than to force be humble. Yea, he that truly humbles himself and repenteth of his sins and endures to the end, the same shall be blessed. Yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humble because of their exceeding poverty. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to think of, that we have that choice to search it out and to be humble without being forced to be humble? Or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the Lord, in the word of God, and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word of God, or even compelled to know before he will believe. Yea, there are many who say, if thou wilt show unto us a sign from heaven, then we shall know of a surety, then we shall believe. And this, I think, even happens today. People want to have a great sign, a most shaking event, before they're going to believe. But I think that group of people, when that earth-shaking event comes, it might be too late. It'd be a lot better to seek the Lord, find his ways, and follow after him before something like this comes to pass. And now, how much more cursed is he that knoweth the will of God and doeth it not, than he that only believeth, or only hath cause to believe, and falleth into transgression. Now, of this thing you must judge. And we know that this is the case. It's much better for us to believe and to follow after the Lord without any great event taking place or anything like this. How much better is it to follow after, like we've tried to do here, than to be brought down to believe like the people at the time of Christ's crucifixion on this land? Those that were more righteous were saved. But how much better it had been if they had really believed in the Lord and the whole country had it. This kind of thing came upon them. And I think of the time that followed after that Christ's crucifixion on this land in 4th Nephi, where they lived peaceably for a couple of hundred years without any great problems. And then Satan entered in and divided them, and it wasn't long after that that they had a total collapse of their society. When people would look back and look at these things, they should tell them a lot. If we don't follow after the Lord,
It's not long till we go astray. Soon as you start to go astray a bit, Satan enters in and divides you. And it's the strangest way he did. He will divide us one against the other. It's the favorite way, of course. He will divide nation against nation, husband against wife, children against their parents, and parents against their children. He'll use any way that he can. But if we seek the Lord, and we strive daily to keep his commandments, and pray that he'll direct us, he's going to be there to hear us. And he's going to guide us directly. And the thing that's going to enter into a lot of people's hearts and houses isn't going to enter into our hearts. Oh, let's read a little bit out of the Psalms again. I want to read the last verse of 19th Psalm. But I often think of things that enter in. Of course, we know pride is one of them. And envy and jealousy. These are little things that we don't think much of. But envy, I am sure, has caused lots of strife among the people who come to follow the Lord. And envy and jealousy is pretty close together. But if we envy one another, it's hard for us to be humble and to seek wisdom at the same time and to envy someone. There's a lot of things that would be nice to have, but there's a lot of things that we don't need. And if we seek the Lord and he's with us, that's one thing that we do need, we must have, and it's the easiest one of the things to get. I'm going to read the last verse in this 19th Psalm. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My strength and my redeemer. That tells us about all that we need to know about it, doesn't it? But if we don't put forth a little bit of effort that it takes, day by day, we're never going to be able to have him be our strength or our redeemer. It takes continual work. Every one of us knows things that we have done, that we have done to become more proficient at. We didn't do it the first day. Ronald and I started playing the guitar the first time he tried. I remember a few years ago when Joni started playing the piano for us, and she's improved every day. Every time it seems like. And the reason is I expect that you'll find that you practice quite a bit. And everything we do, we have to practice on if we want to become better at it. If we want to become a better Christian, we've got to practice to be a better Christian. And if you do that, the reward will outweigh every bit of time you ever have to put into it. I believe 1 through 8 will be prayer service. The close of 2, 5, 8. Thank you.
for this service. We would thank thee for the time set before thee and the words that are in God for our attention. We would that we might be mindful of the written words, that we each individually might have a greater desire to study these words and to show ourselves approved before thee. We pray that we might become an example of the believers, an instrumental in bringing their souls into the fold. Watch over us now as we depart. Direct us in our varied activities of life. Be with the many who stand in need of our prayers. We pray for those in other lands, especially in Canada and Europe, and Yucatan, and their social needs, as well as those in this nation. Help us to serve thee more closely, and we pray that men of thy choosing might be placed in the ministry, and that this work might go forward more fully. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.